What the hell happened to your 76ers? What the hell happened to them?
We got a young team, and, you know, we just learning. This time, it's their experience in the playoffs. We ain't been in the playoffs in a minute. We have a young team, and, you know, the game is about wins and losses. I think these losses that we took right now are going to teach us a lesson, and next year we're going to come back 10 times stronger. All right.
NBA Straya, how you going, man? That's right, it's NBA Straya. It's Friday, May 11. I'm your host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull, The Brooklyn Game, and a bunch of other places that want to pay me money. And I'm here hanging out at Larry Armour Studios in New York City, New York, surrounded to my right by Gary Payton, to my left, Sean Kemp. I love this studio. It's great, isn't it? We are making sure you know who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA today, just while repping Straya a little bit. And today's show has no raps because there was no basketball last night, but we do have some raps news because the Raptors have parted ways with their coach. So we'll talk about that. We've also got previews for the supremely badass conference final matchups between the Cavs and Celtics and Rockets Warriors. Plus, without any games to wrap from last night, we're going to do an extended yeah-nah on the teams that got eliminated in the second round and what they need to do in the offseason with one big question of a yeah-nah and then a trade that they could make to make themselves, I don't know, get a little bit better. So we'll also have some playoff editions of the usual dumbassery. That means yeah-nah is the unpopular opinion of the day and our back takeouts. And with the usual Australian player watch, we'll have a look at what Aaron Bangers Baines, our last remaining Aussie, is facing in the conference finals. And it's Friday, so we've got a new Luke Longley All-Star. We'll finish up with a new Cooking with Bainesy as our lone remaining Aussie takes some time out to teach you how to make an Aussie classic because he's a dead set ledge. All right, it's episode 117. It's NBA Straya. Let's go!
Oi, 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 it's old mate Dally over here. That's right, Matty Dellavedova. And you're listening to NBA Straya.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
Oh, you better, because it's NBA Straya. We start every day with the daily whip around right there. The whip around. And we got some breaking news this morning. Toronto has fired their coach, Dwayne Casey. Man, Toronto. They're like, all right. Cool, we lost to LeBron again. That's three straight years. We've lost 10 straight to LeBron. Better fire the coach. Sure. That's right, man. Toronto, 23 years in the NBA. They have three 50-win seasons all under Dwayne Casey. And they won a franchise record 59 games this season. Oh, boy. This is going to be hilarious when Dwayne Casey wins Coach of the Year and is no longer the Toronto Raptors coach. Holy shit. So there you go. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the playoff yeah-nahs. So let's get straight into today's big extendo yeah-nah. So usually on NBA Australia, we have three big NBA questions where we give it an old yeah or a big nah, yeah-nah. It's what we do. And so we're going to do that for the Raptors, for the Sixers, the Pelicans, and the Jazz, the four teams who went out in the second round. Because, man, we've got a little bit of time up our sleeves, at least today, and before we get into the conference finals on Sunday and Monday US time. So, look, it's a nice little chance to look back and see what happened to those who have fallen by the wayside. So let's get stuck in to the Toronto Raptors. Let's do it. Should the Raptors blow it up? Yeah, nah. Nah. I mean, for what exactly? They just fired their coach, which is basically the only thing they could do sans blowing it up, which is the whole old, well, we're going to do something kind of move. And the other option was to keep doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting a different result, which is win lots of games, lose to LeBron in the playoffs. Win lots of games, lose to LeBron in the playoffs. Win lots of games, change up our game plan, lose to LeBron in the playoffs. That's the old definition of insanity. So the thing is, I don't know if that's Dwayne Casey's fault and not your bitch ass $55 million backcourt who shit their pants every time they see LeBron. So for the Raps, I mean, what could you have actually done beyond firing Dwayne Casey? And I feel like this is what Masai Ujiri, the Toronto GM, well, El Presidente Masai Ujiri, was kind of looking at. He's like, fuck, man, what are we going to get in return for big booty 31-year-old Kyle Lowry or Costco Kobe? I mean, what are you going to get for Costco Kobe? Like, you might send, he's from LA, so you're like, all right, let's send him to LA. LA aren't going to give you fucking like anything of value. They're not going to give you Brandon Ingram or any of their upcoming picks because they're kind of out this year and shit. So the Clippers, I mean, what? You can have their two first rounders. Sure, now we're picking 13 and 14. And like, what? Danilo Gallinari and some other fucking half roster filler shit? I mean, best of luck. Sure. So you get the feeling the Raptors just have to end up running it all back with most of the same crew and hope that Delon Wright and Fred VanVleet are the fighting VanVleets and Norm Powell, etc., develop a little bit more, and that the two young bigs, Pascal Siakam and teenage mutant Jakob Poeltl, can replace and be better than and more modern versions of My Name is Jonas Valanciunas and Serge Ibaka in about, you know, in over the next 12 months. You phase out the other dudes, get rid of them, you got your two young dudes and away you go. See, they can still do that and still be a top four team in the East, even if they bring in a new coach like Mike Budenholzer or fucking Stackhouse, whoever they've got in mind. And it seems like Buds is like a clear favorite so far, according to Kevin O'Connor and Mark Stein. So, I don't know, it's weird. But if you bring back Buds and run it back with the same crew, you're going to probably end up with the same sort of thing, aren't you? I mean, Buds basically had the same thing happen in Atlanta. He's got the same dudes. And every time it's like, oh, wait, are we good enough to beat LeBron? No. Oh, shit. So, and for the Raps, they were healthy this year. And that's not always going to happen with fucking big booty old man Kyle Lowry or Costco Kobe. And they still got bounced by LeBron. So my initial reaction is like, fuck it, just blow it up. But I just don't know if you can get enough value back to justify it. So instead, they fire Dwayne Casey. They bring in probably Buds, someone like that, and just see how it goes. I don't know, man, but that DeMar trade for the Clippers. So the one big question is obviously, you know, should they blow it up? Yeah, nah, I don't. Well, they probably should, but I don't think they will. And a trade, look, there's just not enough out there, I think, that DeMar, like, people aren't looking at DeMar DeRozan going, hey, that's the bit that gets us over the top, because they've watched him fucking go into every single playoffs the last 3 years and shit the bed against LeBron. So Raptors, man, rocking a hard place. Rocking a hard place. But there you go. So they've fired Dwayne Casey. Tough one, man. Tough one. Not Dwayne Casey's fault. It's going to be pretty hard when he's not there to accept that Coach of the Year award. Oh, Jesus. That's a tough one there, TNT. So how about the Sixers? Philadelphia 76ers. Oh, man. Yeah, nah, let's do it. The Sixers should be going after Paul George or Kawhi Leonard before even considering LeBron James. Yeah, nah. Yeah, I mean, come on. You just won 50 games. You made it to the second round of the playoffs, and this is step one of the journey. They should now be in, like, develop and kick ass mode. And adding Paul George or Kawhi could be a hell of a fucking way to speed up that process and paper over the cracks in Big Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid's games for, like, the next year or two as they get better and better and better, right? It can, you know, it vaults you up a level and you go, fuck, they're going to be hard to beat in the playoffs. And meanwhile, Big Simo and fucking Joel Embiid there, the process himself, are just getting better and better. That's unreal, man. So I reckon, do you think the LeBron thing, if he wants to come, you take him. He's the best player in the NBA, sure, but it also turns basically Ben Simmons into a non-shooting power forward when he's not being a 6'10" Rondo at that point, right? And it's a bit of a redundancy in skill, a bit of overlap between LeBron and Ben Simmons, unless Simmons can learn how to shoot this offseason. So you kind of feel like, obviously, George or Kawhi would be a better fit on the wing there. Just saying. Just saying. So what do you reckon? Can we do this with a bit of a trade? How about Dario, the homie Saric, Markel Fultz, and the number 10 pick for Kawhi with Jared Bayless thrown in to make the salaries work and maybe a future first? Who says no? I love that. I mean, the Sixers would be like, fuck yes, do that in a second. I don't know if the Spurs would be feeling that great unless they can get Fultz shooting. So, I don't know. The Sixers, don't they just really have to hire the goddamn best shooting coach going and, like, get him to spend all offseason with Big Simo and Sleepy Eyes Fultz there while Joel Embiid does wind sprints to get up that fucking, get up that endurance. It's weird. So the Sixers, again, they find themselves in a bit of a weird one where it's like they clearly have cap space. They've got all these options. They've got picks coming in. They've got their own. Oh, it's very tasty. And if, you know, Kawhi or Paul George ends up there, you got to do it. If LeBron wants to go there, you kind of got to do it as well. Tricky situation, but a good one to be in if you're the Philadelphia 76ers. And on your Big Simo, just get a fucking jump shot, son of Dave. All right, moving on to the western side of the NBA, the Pelicans. Be a Pelican, not a Pelicant. Do the Pels bring back Boogie? Yeah, nah. Yeah, like they have to, right? Because there's there's not much in the way of other options beyond a sign and trade. And he's Look, they gave up a bit to get him. He's also clearly very, very fucking talented. Probably the best big man in the league when healthy. But the thing is, he's also now a giant human being who just snapped the most important tendon in his body that enables you to move. So I can't imagine the trade market being that robust for a malcontent big man who now can't run. I mean, if they were able to, like, you want to bring him back, sign and trade, but then I wouldn't mind seeing. If you want the trade for the Pelicans, how about an Otto? I like to get Blatto Porter. And Marcin Gortat, hello, is Paul Schammer. Trade to Washington Pelicans, they get an actual wing player there. So what do you reckon, Porter Gortat for Boogie? Sign and trade, who says no? You're going to have to throw in something else there as well, I think, to Washington, just in terms of the salaries even. I mean, but you've got a blueprint now, right? The Pelicans, you've got AD at the five, you've got shooters, and you just go from there. No more fucking Omer Sheik signings and shit like that, you fucking dorks. Look, you realize that you got a good thing in Jrue Holiday. You got a great thing in Anthony Davis. Rondo is an actual thing when he's like playing with AD. That's awesome. So keep just going in that fucking direction and don't fuck it up. And if it means getting rid of Boogie, maybe so be it. Just got to find that value. That's the thing. And it's tricky with sign and trades because it's basically got to go to somebody under the cap. And Washington, I don't know, if they get rid of Porter and Gortat, I think that slips them closer to it and you might be able to pull it off, but it's tricky. Anyway, but there you go, Pelicans. Clear path. AD, shooters. No fucking around. And then finally, the Utah Jazz. Man, this is tricky. Talking about tricky. So what do they do? Can they do anything this offseason to really, really improve and become a contender? Yeah, nah, I just can't see it. I mean, they've already got a superstar in Donovan fucking Mitchell, as well as the GOAT in Jingling Joe Ingles, a defensive anchor in the Stafford Tower, I am Rudy Gobert. But the rest of the upside on this roster is tough, right? So Jay Crowder turned back into a spud. He turned back into Cleveland Crowder when the going got rough in that goddamn Houston series. Thanks a lot, Jay Crowder. We always knew you had it in you. Ricky Rubio unsurprisingly got hurt. Kangaroo Kobe, Dante Exum, as much as it pains me to say, also unsurprisingly got hurt. So there you go. It's like, oh shit. We thought we had a puncher's chance and then our dudes go down. You're like, ah, fuck. That's how it goes with those guys though. Meanwhile though, I'm on the flip side. Alec Burke stepped up, which was nice considering he's getting paid a bunch of money. That's cool. Royce O'Neal looks pretty good as well, but the thing is, their avenue to contender status, unless there's like another Dante Exum jump if he gets healthy, like you can't quite see it, can you? Like Derek Favors is Derek Favors. We all know that. You've got a really good defense. You can have possibly the best defense in the NBA, but you just need Dante Exum, Ricky Rubio healthy. And then that backcourt of Donovan fucking Mitchell, Ricky Rubio and Dante Exum is killer. And that's awesome perimeter defense. So maybe that's your sort of way to like just going, we are a dominating fucking ass-kicking team. Let Donovan fucking Mitchell score like a mad dog. Let the jingler pull it all together. I don't know. Maybe you need to sign and trade Favors for a shooting big. Favors has to go somewhere, I guess, maybe. But the rest of this roster, maybe you got to trade Burks. I don't know. Look, so here's this trade for the old Utah Jazzers. How about Alec Burks for Myers Leonard or something, you know? Another undersized scoring guard for Portland and a white guy for Utah. Who says no? What do you reckon about that one, PDX Pete? All the other Portland fans. I don't know, another undersized shooting guard who's a bit streaky. That'd be fun. But I mean, if I'm Utah, I'm waiting for a Ryan Anderson buyout when Houston are trying to dump him in pursuing LeBron. There's an idea. So there you go. Those are the four teams that got knocked out in the second round. All of them have fascinating off seasons with the Raps getting a jump today by firing Dwayne Casey. So who knows what happens now, man? Philly could be a fucking full-blown contender in a month, but at the same time, they could just be the same team. Who fucking knows? All right, that was the first thing of today. We're going to actually get into actual normal Yeah Nahs right after, let's say, more, I reckon, these ones.
G'day, this is Thon McCurr, and you're listening to NBA Straya.
All right, we're back. It's Yeah Nah, time for Yeah Nah, where we just take three normal NBA storylines, decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. It's our news whip around as per usual. right there. So does Kawhi Leonard being in a Dodgers game mean he's angling for a trade to either the Lakers or the Clippers? Yeah, nah. Yes. I mean, this motherfucker didn't go to any goddamn Spurs games for basically 2 fucking months and then rocks up to a fucking Dodgers game in LA. I get that he lives there, but for fuck's sake, mate, that is a dog move. I mean, him being in a Dodgers game doesn't not mean he's not going to LA, right? I also legit love that we're already at the point where we're in like LeBron mode for everyone in the NBA offseason now. Like, Kawhi's at a Dodgers game. Like, Paul George is like being caught blowing a homeless bloke in Los Feliz. Like, Boogie flew to Splendor in the Grass on a private jet. He's a massive Lord fan. Maybe he wants to play for the New Zealand Breakers. Like, DeAndre Jordan was spotted in Houston wandering around, just completely lost, calling Chris Paul continuously going, "Can I play for you?" Isaiah Thomas was spotted literally standing outside the Orlando Magic Arena in a Magic jersey, begging everyone going in and out to sign him. It's crazy, man. I love this time of year. And don't even get me started on the NBA lottery on Tuesday. This is like, I am fucking so stoked for the NBA lottery on Tuesday. Like, it is probably my third favorite, maybe my fourth favorite night of the NBA calendar, where you have NBA draft, which I fucking love, the first night of the NBA season, free agency, and then the NBA draft lottery. The lottery might be like top two. Like, it is fucking great. I'm sitting here with beers going, yes, lottery. It's going to be great. Anyway, moving on. So Kawhi, look, that's a fucking dog move, and it's just, he's a weird fucking cat, isn't he? I don't know, man. Moving on, Nick Collison was an all-time Seattle Supersonic legend. Yeah, nah, yes, yes. If only because he ended up being the second last Sonic to be in the NBA to date. It was just him and the coward Kevin Durant, and I'm actually sitting here currently wearing a Seattle Sonics 35 jersey and kind of wishing I now had a Nick Collison jersey as well. Dude was obviously a hell of a teammate, and in his day could bang a lot of rebounding, a lot of defense. Was great during that 2011-12 period where they made the run to the finals. Look, if he extended his range to three earlier in his career, he'd be like Ryan Anderson, who could actually fucking rebound and play some defense. Just came along a little bit too early, like maybe 2-3 years too early. Well, on your Nick Collison, who retired yesterday, you're a fucking legend. The Billy Hoyle to Russell Westbrook, Sidney Dean. Unreal. All right, moving on. So we've got another one. Dwayne Casey had this coming. Yeah, nah. Yeah, I mean, I think it's a bit of a misstep. And it's just more for changing shit up for the, any actual real reason. I mean, Dwayne Casey didn't lose to LeBron. His fucking team did, with one, count it, one fucking dude on that roster who could guard LeBron. And somehow that's Dwayne Casey's fault somehow? Get the fuck out of here. Meanwhile, that fucking backcourt, $55 million backcourt of Costco Kobe and fucking Big Booty Kyle Lowry, shit the bed every time they fucking peeped LeBron. Get the fuck out of here, Dwayne Casey's fault. So, I don't know, man. I don't know. And then finally, it's not even a yeah, nah. This is just more of a fucking statement. Anyone who thinks that Becky Hammon is skipping some bullshit made-up line is a fucking idiot. It's not a yeah, nah. It's just a fact. Anyone who's like, oh, she didn't play. She hasn't been an assistant for at least 5 years. Check your fucking shit. She played for a million years, has coached for ages. And it's about fucking time we stop clutching at our fucking pearls because a lady is up for a head coaching gig. Get the fuck, she's clearly got the resume. She's clearly talented. There's no fucking problem, nothing to see here. And if you think otherwise, you're a fucking dead shit. Right there. Just saying. Sorry, I got a bit heated, but it's Friday. What are you going to do? All right, so how about look at me, look at me, the unpopular opinion of the day.
Now look at me, please. Look at me, look at me.
I was legitimately stoked to have a night where there was no basketball for once. Oh, I kind of just needed it, I think. I fucking caught up on like two different TV shows and watched that amazing Jaime Lannister movie, Shot Caller, which is now probably my favorite movie ever. I mean, it's going to suck when there's no basketball tonight or tomorrow and I'm like on YouTube or like on my iPad watching Sean Kemp highlights. But I mean, for one night, it was okay just to go, huh, cool, no basketball. I mean, tonight and tomorrow are going to be shit, but still. All right, how about Outback Takehouse? Step on into Outback Takehouse. TGIF at Outback Takehouse. We've got double shrimp, double takes, and double blooming onions. Welcome to Outback Takehouse. The NBA Finals will be the Rockets versus the Celtics because everyone is talking up Warriors-Cavs 4 like it's inevitable. But the Rockets and Celtics are the teams of destiny because they're not spoiled whining brats like the dork Steph Curry or LeBron James at Outback. That's where you get your takes. Flame grilled takes at our back tank house. Ah, Jesus, come on, get the fuck out of here. No one literally whinges more than whinging Chris Paul. And James Harden flops and causes fouls on every possession. So, look, even with, like, LeBron's bitching, I kind of, like, go, yeah, he's going to kind of point a lot of the time. So, anyway, we've got the conference finals previews coming up right after we get to the Australian Player Watch and the Luke Longley All-Star. So, let's do it right now. Hi there. This is Joe Ingles, and you're listening to NBA Australia. All right, we're back. It's time for the Australian Player Watch. We've only got one Aussie bloke left in the NBA. So what's in store for our remaining Aussie, Aaron Bangers Baines? This is kind of like a little bit of a run into, I guess, the previews. But look, what's in store for Bangers? Not much is what I'd actually expect. We saw a lot of Bangers in the last round because of Joel Embiid. But the Celtics can probably get away by starting small like they've done against the Bucks, etc. Because it's only Kevin Love and Tristan Thompson they've actually got to look out for on the Cavs. And then with Thompson coming off the bench, I just assume that that's what Brad Stevens and the Celtics will do. They'll just go Bangers. Every time Tristan Thompson's on the floor, you're on the floor. That's it. So he might not even be starting. So that's going to be fucking fascinating because if Bangers can keep hitting enough threes as the Celtics own fucking unicorn, the GOAT, it's going to drag Tristan out of the paint and open up lanes for the Double J's and Terry Rozier, etc. So I expect that is going to be the role for Bangers in the Eastern Conference Finals. Beyond that, like, you've got a feeling that they might just have, like, you know, Horford covering Love and Mook Morris covering LeBron and, you know, Tatum maybe sort of switching around. Whereas, yeah, Bangers might not have that much of a fucking role. So it's going to be a bit of a tough one. But, you know, look, he's out there just crushing it. Maybe he's sinking threes. It's what he does. On you, Bangers. So how about a quick Luke Longley All-Star Award of the Week? And this is one of my all-time favorites. I actually own his jersey. I think it's back in Australia. I don't know what the fuck happened to it. I lost like two jerseys when we moved to New York 5 years ago. Randomly, I had a Rodney Stuckey Detroit jersey, which I fucking loved. And my Jet Terry Dallas jersey. So today it's Jet Terry. He's not quite a Luke Longley All-Star because for that 2011 Dallas Mavericks team, he was actually probably the second option on that on the team. Whereas Luke Longley, you know, even though he probably carried MJ and Pippen to those actual sort of, you know, titles or whatever, it was probably Jordan and Pippen above him, to be honest. Whereas Jet Terry, though, just out there, he had a very, very defined role. And that was to go out there, kick ass, and take fucking names. And that's what he fucking did. Unreal. Good on you, Jet. This was amazing just to watch him. Like, all I did, he came off the bench as well, though. So that was kind of the point into why he was the Luke Longley All-Star. Because with Jet coming off the bench, in the finals, he shot 49.4% from the field and 39.3% from three and averaged 18 points a game off the fucking bench. Ah, Jet, I loved him. So I actually got to see him a couple of times in person, which was great in Dallas. I went down there before going to South by Southwest 1 year and went and saw them play Wizards and like another, what was the other team? It was the Raptors, I think. And, it was great fun. It was awesome. And just watching Jet Terry go out there and do shit was really fucking great. And you just forget how good he was during those 2011 playoffs. And there you go for the finals against LeBron, D-Wade, everybody. Jet averaged 18 points a game, 40% from three, 50% from the field. That is a fucking Luke Longley All-Star. Just go out there and just fucking score, Jet. And that's what he did. Next to Jason Kidd, JJ Barea, Tyson Chandler. And man, the Mavs won it in six. That was a great one. So there you go. Welcome, Jet Terry, to the Luke Longley All-Stars. You're a legend and a fitting addition. All right, let's move on to the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Inspiration Board and our conference final previews right after, let's say, these words.
G'day, this is PDX Pete. When I'm not sipping on IPAs or throwing down voodoo donuts, I'm tuning in to NBA Australia. Fuck yeah.
This is Andrew Bogut, and you are listening to NBA Australia. All right, we're back. It's NBA Stereo. It's time for the Patty Mills Game Day Ball, a Game Day Inspiration Board. And today it's actually, again, the Joe Ingles Inspiration Board because Jinglin' Joe. Oh, this is great. He retweeted out the Jazz with his wife, Renee. She was giving a talk at the Impact Women Empowered seminar, and Joey and the Jazz had a couple of tweets about her. So the Utah Jazz that Joe Ingles retweeted, Renee was out there saying, don't forget, she was an Australian like national netball player. She's a fucking legend in her own right. So she's saying, resilience to me is one of the most important aspects of leadership. And the Jazz retweeted that. Well, the Jazz tweeted that out and Joe Ingles retweeted it. And then Joe Ingles, an actual photo of his wife at the Women Empowered seminar. And he tweeted out, when your wife dominates at everything she does. Prayer hands at Renee Ingles. And in another emoji, which one's that? The man shrug of just like, oh man, she's too good. On you, Joe. That is unreal. Feeling good. That is fucking inspiring as hell. Good on you, Joey. All right, so let's get to the Eastern Conference and Western Conference.
Conference Finals Previews. Conference Finals Previews.
What do you think, Inadvertent Bane?
I believe I'm looking forward to basketball.
Thanks, Inadvertent Bane. All right, so Eastern Conference Finals. We've got Cavs Celtics Sunday, 3:30 p.m., I believe, Eastern. In the U.S. This is going to be fascinating, isn't it? Gee, have you heard that the Celtics don't even have their best two players? The Celtics don't even have their best two players. Yeah, they're still, fuck me, mate, we get it. They're also really good still. So now what do they actually do? So this is in Boston where they haven't lost in the playoffs since, oh shit, last year against the Cavs. But the matchups this year are fucking amazing, right? There's so much perimeter talent on the Celtics that you can see how they can... You can actually sort of envision how they slow down the Cavs pretty easily, like with Terry Rozier, Scary Terry, and Marcus Smart sort of on that point guard sort of role duty across George Hill, JR, and then Smart, Jason Tatum switching on Kyle Korver, or Jaylen Brown switching on to Korver as well. And then the double J's, Mook Morris trying to keep up with LeBron, Big Allen bangers against Kevin Love and Tristan Thompson. I mean, apart from the LeBron matchup, it's hard not to think the Celtics have at least a bit of an advantage defensively, especially with Marcus Smart back and kind of healthy. He tips the scales, I think, a little bit. The thing is, they're down Shane Larkin. I mean, when you have to say that, oh, they're down Shane Larkin, you're in fucking trouble. Like, holy shit. I just don't know if they're going to be deep enough. This is going to be tough, man. The thing is, it really comes down to, we can see how Boston match up, but it comes down to them on the other end as well. Offensively, can they keep up with the Cavs? I just can't see it. Even though Jason Tatum has 8 straight games, averaging over 20 points. And Scary Terry is Scary Terry Rozier, but only in Boston. When he's outside of Boston, it's not great. I mean, Big Al Horford is out there crushing it. Man. But I think with all that said, I think we'll see arrested LeBron come out and the Cavs. You'll be like, oh, this will be hype as fuck. And then they'll start slowly in game one. They'll realize that this isn't the Raptors. And I think the Celtics kick it into gear pretty quickly and win game one in front of that insane crowd. Unless LeBron puts up about a 50 piece. But the pick, you know what? I feel like the Celtics win game one and then the Cavs win it in 6 after that. I think they drop game one, win the next 3 straight, and then win back at home in game 6. So, man, it's going to be fucking great fun, though. Because you look at this goddamn Celtics roster, you go, yes, Kyrie, there's not there. No Gordo Hayward, but it's still really fucking good, bro. Holy shit. So let's move on to the Western Conference Finals. And look, we'll be wrapping the game one of that on Monday. And we'll be previewing the Western Conference final game properly on Monday as well. So the series, though, overall, this is fucking crazy, man. The Warriors won't have home court in the playoffs since fucking 2014. That's insane. That is legitimately incredible. So this is a great backcourt matchup, obviously, with fast Jimmy Harden and whinging Chris Paul up against the dork Steph Curry and China Klay Thompson. This should be fun as hell, man. The Rockets have got bodies to throw at the coward Kevin Durant between PJ Tucker, Luka Mbarumute, and Ariza. And as well, like, they've got a good Draymond countermeasure as well, right? Like with the old mate Clint Capela. So it's kind of weird. Like, I reckon it's two offensive and defensive juggernauts. It should be fun, but it's hard to shake the feeling that this is not going to be quite as fun as we all think it's going to be, even though we all predicted at the start of the year. Oh, man, the Warriors and the Rockets are going to meet in the Western Conference Finals, you know? And it's like, yeah, we know, but hey, it'll be fun to get there. And now we're here, it's like, oh, I don't know. I just don't know what to expect. I feel like the Warriors win this series in seven. I think we get a series that goes long, but only has two really capital G great games in it. I reckon we'll see game two be awesome and game four, just off the top of my head. So we'll have our game one pick on Monday when we actually preview that game properly, when we go in a little bit in depth and both sides of the actual games. So that's how we go. But there you go. So those are the picks. I've got the Cavs in six and the Warriors in seven. I don't know. It's weird. It's just weird to say it out loud, isn't it? So anyway, we've still got 2 days before any of this pops off. So I'm going to go to like the fucking, like, I don't know, go somewhere and do stuff that I can't usually do. Holy shit. Eat and drink like a mad dog. End up cuddled up on the couch with the dog and the missus. That'll be good. Nice one. So you know what? That is it for NBA Australia for this week. We are back on Monday for more ridiculousness. You know it. We all know it. So look forward. So what we're going to do, I think we're going to do a live stream during the NBA lottery that might be, depending on when the actual games roll off, we might do a live stream just on Facebook Live or maybe just through Twitter, Periscope, whatever. But we're going to do that on Tuesday. That's going to be awesome. So look forward to that. And if something fucking crazy happens Sunday, maybe we'll do an episode Sunday night US time, which will be Monday morning Australia. So keep an eye out for that one. We'll see how we go. Just depends on timing. You know, it's weird over here. I'll tell you that much. So keep an eye out on our Twitter and Facebook and Instagram for all the sort of info about that sort of shit. And in the meantime, make sure you're following us on all social media channels. Make sure you're subscribed on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, all the places you get your podcasts. NBA Australia, mate. Check us a rating and review while you're at it. It really helps out. And tell a mate. Get them on board. Just go, oh, did you hear what he fucking said the other day? What a dickhead. That's how it goes. Thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song, though. Go check out their new band, House Hats, the best band in Australia. They play the Corner Hotel May 17 with the Celibate Rifles, ex-Painters and Dockers for Back to the Corner. Their new single, Stop, is awesome. So go check it out. Extra special thanks to legends of Green Green Green, Iowa Fascinator, Dozers, Sex Jedi, and the Ramshackle Army for the tunes throughout the episode. Remember, NBA Australia supports Australia bands. Go check them all out on Bandcamp and Facey and give them a smash. All right, mate, that's an awesome week. Thanks so much for all the feedback we've gotten. We've had some awesome ones this week. Keep it coming. Just hit me up. I'm always here, man. Stick around for brand new Cooking with Bainesy, and we will catch us on Monday. We'll see you, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, Lederhosen. Cooking with Bainesy is filmed in front of a live studio audience. And now it's time for everyone's favorite Aussie cooking show. It is Cooking with Bainesy with your host, Aaron Bangers Baines. Oh, all right, settle down, yous lot, come on, thank you very much. Yeah, g'day, oh, welcome to Cooking with Bainesy. I'm your host, Aaron Bangers Baines, eh? So, look, all right, settle down over there, oh, look at you, on you, Margaret. All right, so in this here episode of Cooking with Bainesy, we're going to fang up one of my absolute favorite Australian dishes, one that's absolutely perfect for a night in or if you're having mates over. It is that absolute Aussie staple, bloody shrimp pad thai. That's right, pad thai is probably top five Aussie dishes all time, mate. I cook them at least twice a week. It's full of all the good stuff you need to keep up a physique like this one. There we go. Lots of protein and noodles and everything. It's bloody perfect. So, all you need to do, it's bloody simple, mate. You go down to your super, you grab some pad thai noodles, some veggie oil, a thing of garlic, a couple of eggs, a bit of soy sauce, a lime, some brown sugar, a thing of fish sauce, a red chili, a bunch of spring onions, a bunch of coriander or cilantro, as these Yanks call it over here, and like a handful of unsalted peanuts. Right, then you go over to your fishmonger as well. Vasily is my bloke, and get a big bag of prawns and get him to shell them for you. You don't need the shells, mate. Come on, get rid of them. All right, so get all that and let's get started. All right, so you cook your noodles in a pot of boiling water for about 10 minutes. Then you drain them and chuck them over there. Then you bang 2 teaspoons of the veggie oil in your pan. Now you slice up and cook a clove of the garlic in there. Chuck that in there. There you go, for a couple of minutes. And on the side, whisk up 2 eggs. There you go. Whisk them up all nice and smooth. Yeah, there you go. Now bang them in there. Just chuck them in that. Oh, look at that go. And when they're cooked, put them aside as well. And then in a bowl, you mix up your 1.5 teaspoons of soy sauce, your 2 tablespoons of lime juice, your 2 tablespoons of sugar, 1 teaspoon of your fish sauce, and about 1/2 of your red chili. All chopped up. Look at that. Nice. Chuck that all in there together and mix that all up in your bowl. Now cook your prawns. Just chuck them on there. You can probably cook them on your barbie if you want, but just put them in a pan. Doesn't matter. Now while you're doing that, grab a tin while they cook. Don't be a Nancy and just wait until they're done. Oh, look at them cook. Oh, that is a beaut, isn't it? So once they're all done and cooked, pour all that sauce into your skillet with the scrambled egg bit, then chuck your noodles in and toss her around just to coat everything up. Sprinkle your spring onions that's all chopped up and your coriander and your peanuts. Just chuck them on top, toss her around a bit, and bam, you're done. Unbloody believable. Chuck a lime wedge on top of that, a bit of a cilantro or coriander along the top, and Bob is your bloody uncle, mate. Voila. Bam, you're done. An absolute bloody pearler of a pad thai. And look, you can fucking chuck chicken and shit in there as well if you want, but I go with the traditional Aussie recipe of prawns. And all right, how easy was that? That is an absolute beautiful looking batch of pad thai that your missus and the family will love. Now I reckon I'm going to go get stuck into these, eh? And you know what? That's it for this week. Tune in next week for a new recipe, and we'll see you then on the next episode of Cooking with Bainesy.